43-yard attempt out of the hold of the punter, J.K. Scott. Dicker, the kicker, he's got it! 4 seconds on the clock.
Mike, after you made such a good drive to tie it, to lose late, just how difficult is it to deal with that?
I mean, losing late, losing early. I appreciate the way they compete. Did a nice job in the first half in that situation, but we weren't able to to keep them in bounds, for them to use some clock, and that's so critical right there.
There you go. That's how it sounded on CBS. That's how it sounded after the game. The Tennessee Titans have lost four in a row after falling yesterday to the Los Angeles Chargers. Welcome in. Chase Willie and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. We're live today at Bridgestone Arena, Pete and Terry's Tavern, Predators and Oilers. Tonight, Chase McCabe, Derek Mason with you. Willie's going to join us later in the show after his morning skate duties. But look, I thought about this yesterday. I thought about this on my drive-in of how I want to go about this today because, look, things are a little depressing right now. When it comes to sports here in Nashville, Predators are on a 6-game losing streak. Titans are on a 4-game losing streak. Nashville SC is not because they're not in season. The Sounds aren't in season, so that
good for them.
That's good. Leo Messi won the World Cup, which was awesome, but it's kind of tough right now with the main two teams, and so I'm like, do I want to just come in guns blazing, being all doom and gloom? Or do I want to try and, find the positives and everything? And you know what my conclusion was?
What's that?
Hell no! Things suck right now! What are we doing?
Yeah, you're right about that. What are
the
we
doing? The offense for the Tennessee Titans is just awful. Awful. And the poor quarterback, let me tell you this. Ryan Tannehill, I want to give that guy a hug. Because the stuff that he's had to deal with his injury, no offensive line, and that is the worst offensive line I think I've ever seen, which is an exaggeration, but it's pretty bad.
It's close.
And the dude gets carted off. They give him some of the good in the ankle. I mean, you've probably had the good.
Yeah.
I mean, you get the good. You're okay for a little bit. Give him the good.
Oh, he's going to feel it today.
Oh, I mean, look, he's probably not going to play this week.
I can't see him. I can't see him playing because this is what happened to him last time. He finished the game, but then the next game he couldn't play.
Right.
And
because they gave him the good before it swelled up, and they gave him that help. But, I mean, it's just – and the fact that they were in it and they had a chance to win that game is solely on the defense. And the fact that the defense is so beaten up and you got key guys that are either playing at 60% or not playing at all, and they're able to get pressure on the quarterback and keep the team in the game with zero help from the offense, even though Derrick Henry looked okay.
Yeah.
Not a lot of help from the offense is just unreal. I mean, Derrick Henry, 21 attempts, 104 yards and a touch, 5 yards per carry. Good day for him for sure. But I just, man. And you said you had a hot take. So I'm coming in hot today.
You're coming in blazing.
I'm tired of losing. I didn't think they were gonna win going into it, but I'm tired of losing, as I know the fan base is, and so we're just gonna vent today.
Once again, this team has proven they cannot be a winning team. I don't give a damn what anybody else say about this team. They're not good. You can make excuses for them because we don't make excuses for the Houston Texans, do we?
Nope.
We don't make excuses for Jacksonville. We just say they're horrible, and they're young. We don't make excuses for them, do we? Do we make excuses for any other team that is doing bad? No. We say they are flat out bad. These are bad teams. This is a bad team.
Yep.
There's no way around it. Do they have a few good players? Absolutely they do, just like every team in the National Football League, from the Houston Texans all the way up to the Buffalo Bills or the Philadelphia Eagles. Every team has a few good players. Some teams have more good players than others, but every team has good players, okay? This team has a few good players, but they're not a good team, okay? That's just the way it is. This team is not a good team. They have not been a good team. It's been proven the whole season long. They hadn't been able to beat teams with winning records. Well, they beat one team, the Washington Commanders. But if they had to play the Washington Commanders now, they would not beat them. They beat no teams with a good record at the time they played them. So I don't know why everybody keeps screaming this is a good team. It's not a good team.
Who's
it's not a good,
this is a good team?
Not you. But it's not a good team. It's not a good roster at this point. Now, listen, if they were fully healthy, then, yeah, this team, this roster would be a competitive roster, a roster that will probably have won maybe two more games. But as it sits now, this team is not a good team. And, people, the faster y'all get over it, the better. Y'all keep on holding on to the, oh, it's Mike Vrabel. And this is, I mean, if they didn't have these injuries, well, damn it. Every team has injuries in this league. Every team can be screaming the same thing that y'all are screaming, except the Philadelphia Eagles. They're the only team I think that is fully healthy. I may be wrong on that one, but they look damn healthy. Everybody else is beat up from Buffalo on down in the Houston Texans. But we always seem to make an excuse for the Tennessee Titans. And I get it. They're your home team. So you're going to make excuses for them. The point is, they are not a good team at this point, and I don't think they were ever a really good team any part of the season. They haven't been. So let's call it what it is. If they play good, they play good, and I'm going to say they play good. If they don't, I'm going to say that. If they're a good team with just a few, you know, mishaps, I say that. But this team has proven they are not good from the start of the season to where they're at now. I don't understand that. The offense is inconsistent. The defense has been inconsistent. Now, you can say part of that is because of the injuries, and I get it. But as a whole, this has been an inconsistent team with inconsistent coaching. Yep, I'm taking it all the way up. With inconsistent GM, with inconsistent owner. Everything. If y'all say it start from the top down, well, what she did a few weeks ago basically summed up the whole season. But this team isn't good. Will they make the playoffs? I don't even know. And I'm being honest about that. I don't know, because I don't know if they can beat Jacksonville a second time.
All right, look, I'm going to tell you this right now.
Jacksonville proved that they can play.
I said this on Twitter yesterday because we know the other team I'm a big fan of.
Yeah.
So I'm watching the Cowboys and the Jacksonville Jaguars game. And I'm sitting there in the second
half.
And I
hate it for Chris, too, because he won his silly underdog.
He did. But you know what? I'm sitting there going, they're going to lose. Cowboys are going to blow this up, and they're going to lose. And when they got to overtime, and I was like, nope, nope, no chance. And I thought I allowed myself to have a little bit of hope when Dallas got the ball. And then he throws a pick six to end the game. And – immediately, I'm pissed off as a Cowboys fan. Then I'm pissed off as a Titans fan because I'm like, well, that does not help the Titans. That does not help the Titans at all. Jacksonville is a good football team.
Now, that is a good coach football team.
That's a football team that they keep going in this direction. Mm-hmm. Now, they need to make some tweaks in the offseason, and they will. Doug Peterson's a good football coach. They got a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
They got players. Mm-hmm. That defense is getting better, too.
Yes.
That's a team to be worried about if you're the Titans and the Colts and the Texans. You should be worried about them. Now, they're going to need a lot of things to go their way to make the playoffs this year. The Titans are basically like, here you go.
Yeah, the Titans want to give it to
them. But I'm not convinced that they're going to go down to Jacksonville and beat them. I think Dallas is going to beat the crap out of them on Thursday night here.
Yeah, Dallas need to win.
Because here's the thing. Dallas has had a bad couple of weeks where they should have lost to Houston, and then they had control of yesterday, and they let Jacksonville come back in the second half. And I'm not a huge Mike McCarthy fan, but I'm a fan of Dak Prescott and Parsons and Zeke Elliott and the guys on that team. I think they're going to get that figured out because that – they're in the playoffs now because Washington lost, so they're in.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a good team. They're going to beat the crap out of the Titans on Thursday night. Houston's a wild card because I think Houston's actually playing better. Houston should have beaten Dallas, and they probably should have beaten Kansas City.
Yeah, they had that game. They had both of them. But because they are not a good team either, They lost. Listen, the only thing that's – listen, if the Chargers were a better coach team, they would have ran the Titans out of the building. If the Chargers were a better coach team, they would have ran the Titans out of the building. But they're not. So when you don't have a good coach, you let bad teams hang around. And the Titans are not a good team at this point. And honestly, like I said, I don't think they ever were a good team throughout the whole season. They lost first game of the season to the Giants. People chalked that up as, oh, the Giants didn't know who it was. And I even chalked it up. Giants didn't realize who they were. Yeah, this happened and that happened. But then they came back to the next following week and lost again. This, people, Titan fans, the quicker you realize, it's just like your kid. I like to make these analogies with my
kids.
Yeah. But it's just like your kid. And I've seen parents like this where they're praising their kid and their kid can never do wrong and this and that. And I'm steady looking at their kid and thinking, like, do you not see what everybody else see?
No.
What your kid, what do you mean your kid's not well-mannered? Never been. Your kid hasn't been doing well in school or on the playing field, whichever sport they choose. So what are you seeing that nobody else is seeing? That's how Titan fans are. Some Titan fans are with the Titans. They are watching this, but in their mind, they don't see it. They're not making the connection. This is a bad team with a few good players. Again, this is a bad team with a few good players, and they've proven it throughout the whole season. When you cannot beat a team with a winning record, what does that make you? We talk about college football all the time. We say, well, we're saying Ohio State isn't good enough. They shouldn't be in the playoffs. Look at their strength of schedule. They can't beat, they hadn't played any winning teams. They only played one winning team and they lost to them.
Yeah.
Michigan.
Yep.
Same thing with the Titans.
Right.
What's the difference?
There isn't one.
Gosh.
All right, we are clearly fired up. We know you're fired up, too. We want to hear from you, 615-737-1025. You can call, you can text. That is our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Titans fall yesterday to the Chargers, lose their fourth in a row. We'll react to that. The Predators on a losing streak as well. A lot of things going on in Nashville sports right now.
A lot of losing.
We're going to fix that, though, here on 102.5-106 Three the Game.
It felt probably worse than it looked. A lot of pain, you know, whatever the top rating on pain scale was, it was that. And, you know, felt some stuff happen in there. It didn't feel great. A lot of pain, so, you know, it wasn't a good feeling initially. You know, that crazy intense pain calmed down a little bit after a little bit of time. And, you know, came in, regrouped a little bit, and was just going to go test it on the sideline, see where I was at, and was able to move a little bit. Felt like I could go in and be effective and you know, move enough to protect myself and do my job. So I tried to get back out there and do that.
For you, how does that thought process work, though? You go from getting carted into the locker room, whatever they do in here, and then you go back out there, and one of the first plays, like, is play action, you know, and then the next play, you're bouncing on a throw. So how does that work as far as that shift mentally?
Yeah, it was a roller coaster there. You know, you get carted. I mean, the cart was more for the travel distance of.
Okay.
Not that I couldn't walk. It was, you know, where they were checking me out was on the other side of the stadium. So did that to help with time and just not having to walk that far. And, you know, did the tests and you know, that roller coaster of, all right, what's it going to be? And then you're dealing with the intense pain and thinking, all right, can I do it, though? And so. Just try to battle through that and do it.
Ryan Tannehill, Titans quarterback, after the loss yesterday and once again hurting his ankle. I mean, it looked very similar to the initial injury that he had earlier in the season with what was never publicly called a high ankle sprain, even though we all knew it was a high ankle sprain. It feels like it's the same way again. I tell you what, after yesterday and hearing that explanation, we used the phrase sometimes he needed a wheelbarrow to carry something. Ryan Tannehill deserves a lot of credit for playing through the pain yesterday. And you can sit here and you can say, well, they're paid millions of dollars. They should be able to do that. Nah, that just takes a man that's willing to do it. and he was willing to do it. And I don't know if you've ever had to deal with that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know you've played through pain before, but look, I wouldn't have been able to. I'm a wuss. So
it takes a special player, and not everybody can do this. Believe me, I've been around enough of them. It takes a special player to, you know, go down, and especially after he's already had an ankle injury, to go down, and you can see him. This is what I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, Chase. I said Ryan Tannehill, for all the stuff everybody may give him, even us at times, he hasn't played great this year, but he's been injured, offensive line, but he's held his own. That is a tough SOB.
Yes.
I mean, no one ever question this guy's toughness. Please don't do that.
No.
Because I'm telling you, not many people would have come back in a game knowing the situation, knowing the situation with the offensive line. No one, I don't think many quarterbacks or players would have risked further injury knowing that they wasn't protected up front. That man sat down on the ground. He tried to get up. He couldn't get up. Got carted off, and now he said that was more so because of the distance.
Right.
But still, he went in.
Which
got,
I don't believe.
We went in and got reevaluated. You know, got made possibly a shot. And he came back out, and he still played at a level that gave them an opportunity to win.
Yep.
So no one ever questioned that man's toughness or his willingness to put his body on the line so this team can have a shot at winning. Not they're going to win, but have a small shot at winning. Because if he's not in a game, they're really not winning that game. Even though Malik Willis looked good for those three or four plays he was in,
Yeah. They
weren't going to win that game, definitely if Ryan Tannehill was not playing. So please, no one ever questioned this man's toughness or his willingness to sacrifice his body so that this team can win. There are two guys on this team that I know will do it. And that's Ben Jones and that's Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah, you literally will have to take their
two,
helmet.
Those
and
two, and I'm not
in.
Saying that because Jeffries,
Henry,
he's still
Henry,
playing.
I put Henry in
and, yeah, and Henry, but I'm saying the two guys that I've seen.
Yeah.
Two guys that I've seen, they're going to do whatever they need to do to be out there because they understand this is not a good football team. And if we're not on the field, we are even worse. So don't ever question this man's toughness. You can question anything else about Ryan Tannehill, but don't ever question his toughness, please. But yet and still, this is not a good team, people.
No,
it is not.
And here's my theory. First, let me get to this. John in Hendersonville on our text line. I think I get this, but I want to ask you a question out of this text. Tannehill's footwork is terrible. Akine can't catch a pass in a crowd like that, like other teams' third and fourth wide receivers do against us. Multiple penalties by the O-line and tight end just kills an inept offense, lack of discipline. Vrabel being outcoached because his staff is bad. Does the footwork – like, we know that he can't move like he usually could.
Uh-huh.
And it wasn't just yesterday. It's been that way. The ankle hasn't magically gotten better.
No, it hasn't.
Like, he's had to play through it. So how much has that affected him and him throwing the ball knowing that he's not 100% when it comes to the wheels?
It is affecting him. You even saw on some of the handoffs that the ankle was bothering him. So if it's bothering him on the handoffs, how you think it's bothering him? Like, he has to mentally – because this is what – you know, people, you got to understand, whether it's the quarterback or the kicker, we rep these plays so many times that they're just ingrained in our head. So we can do it. We can run these plays without even thinking because we know them. Boom, 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 boom. I don't even have to think about it. I know exactly. As soon as you get out the first two words, I know exactly what we're running. And Ryan Tannehill knows exactly where what pass play it is and who's the first read, who's the second read. So from a mental standpoint, when you're out there, you're not thinking. You're just reacting to what the defense do. Well, now he has an ankle injury. Now he can't do that because what is he doing? He's worried about the ankle and making sure that he can get the depth that he needs on passing plays or the depth that he needs to hand the ball off to Derrick Henry. Now he can't go and just play freely because he's thinking about the injury. That's hard for a player. And he still managed to go out there and do a pretty good job.
Right.
So the footwork does hurt. It does contribute to, you know, him possibly not playing as well or him not getting the passes to where he needs to have gotten them yesterday. And then Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. I'm going to say this, and this is going to be the last time I say this about Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. The kid can play just because he dropped one pass in a crowd with a guy. People, they're getting paid too. Watch the play over again. It was a bang, bang play. He reaches out, grabbing in the crowd, and the defensive back just made a good play. He just made a good – it was a textbook play. So don't – Westbrook, Nick has proven he can catch the ball in traffic.
Yeah.
How many times have y'all seen that? People, you – it's this recency bias.
Yeah.
Because he didn't catch it yesterday. Now he can't catch, period. This man has caught plenty of passes in traffic zones, okay, where guys have been all over, running down the middle of the field, jumping up, catching passes. Don't forget that, okay? Did he have a drop yesterday? That was a good play. Should he have caught it? Absolutely. Wide receivers, anything that touches our hands, we need to catch. But that defensive back made a good play on it. So that pass by Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, that drop, or that good defensive play, wasn't the reason why they lost that game. It just wasn't. The reason why they lost that game is because they are not a good team. Plain and simple. I think in this world today, you can't disagree without somebody saying, oh, you just don't like them.
Right.
Or you're hating on them. No, I'm not. When can I not tell the truth about in what I'm seeing? Am I supposed to, you know, pacify the Tennessee Titan fan base? We're not the flagship for that team. I have no allegiance when it comes to watching this team and then talking about what I see. I'm always going to be fair with the Titans.
Sure.
Always.
You always have it.
If they're good, they're good. If they're bad, they're bad.
If you were doing radio in Baltimore, you'd be the same way.
Exactly. I'd be the same way with the Ravens.
Yeah.
Because people – if I go out of my way to try to make things look rosy when they're not, our listeners will not respect us.
Right. And look, things are not rosy.
They're
exactly. not. They are simply not rosy right now for this team. I know that. You know that. What does the team believe in that locker room? I have my theory. I want to hear Derek's, and we want to hear yours as well. 615-737-1025. We'll get to that coming up next. How does the locker room feel right now? And how should they feel? Do that. Chase, Willie, and D. Mace. Presented by Hair Club. Hair Club, love your hair, live your life. Creating custom hair loss solutions for men and women. 1025, 106.3 The Game.
Yeah, we fought. Obviously, you know, didn't show up in the biggest moment of the game, which was obviously the last drive. So disappointed about that. But, you know, made some plays, but obviously wasn't, you know, good enough or enough to win the ball game. So that's what it comes down to.
What's the difference between this game and the last couple of games, KB? I mean, is there something that stands out in terms of what's not necessarily clicking or the execution at times, is there even a common thread?
I'm going to see a difference. I mean, we lost. So, I mean, that's probably the biggest thing I've been saying. We've been losing. We lost four straight. So, I mean, I don't know.
Things slipping away?
I mean, it seemed like it. I don't know.
Jaguars one behind you now.
I mean, we lost. I mean, division's still there, but personally, I can care less about that. Like, I'm not really into it. I mean, I obviously wanted to win the division and all that stuff. But I'm not really into it, like, just getting to the playoffs and all that. It don't look like we're a team right now that's going to beat anybody. So we got to find a way to get back to work and beat Houston. I mean, that's all we can really do at this point.
That is Kevin Byard, the mayor of Murfreesboro, in the Titans locker room after the loss yesterday. Back here, Chase, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase McCabe, Derek Mason with you. I'm going to be honest with you. I appreciate that honesty, but it worries me at the same time. Because if one of the leaders on your team is feeling that way, and I mean, granted, you get the truth right after the game. You know that.
Yeah.
You know that. That's when you speak the truth. The coach speak and the BS and all that, that comes later in the week. Right after the game in the moment, you get the truth.
Yeah.
And Devin Byard spoke the truth. And you can hear that frustration in the – like he gets asked about the Jags, and it's like, yeah, I don't care about that right now. I mean, we got to figure out how to win, because if we don't win, it doesn't matter what anybody else does.
Well, I guess y'all will believe me now. Now that it's come from the mouth of one of the leaders, and like I said last week, he is the leader of that team, I believe. It's come out of his mouth. Now, maybe, just maybe, y'all will believe me. This team isn't good. They're holding on. I said that 2 weeks ago. This team is holding on, hoping and praying Jacksonville don't continue to win. They're holding on, hoping and praying that we don't have more injuries. We're not a good ball club as it is. And if we have more injuries, it's just going to get worse. And one of your leaders is telling you, listen, we are not a good team right now. For whatever reason, we're not. From the coaching staff to the kicker. None of us. We're not playing well enough to win football games. And hell, I don't know if we can win, you know, I don't know if we can win the remainder of the games. The pressure's on now. We're going to see truly what Mike Vrabel is about. Because Jacksonville won yesterday, and Jacksonville looks like a better team to you.
Yeah, Jacksonville is a better. They don't look like it. They are.
And Jacksonville is putting on the pressure. And either you're going to relieve some of that pressure by winning next week or week, or that pressure is going to ramp up and those pipes are going to bust. That's just plain and simple. There's no in-between.
Yep.
Either they need to alleviate some of that pressure by winning, because it's going to come down, I believe, to the last game of the season.
Oh.
And I'm not confident that the Titans can beat the Jacksonville Jaguars.
I'm going to tell you this right now. As I look at the playoff picture and I look at the standings, picture this. Jacksonville, Florida on January 8th. Sunday night football, because that's what's going to get flexed, because that's going to be a game for the division and a playoff spot. That's where they are right now, which if I'm NBC, I'm going, oh. but that's probably what it's going to come down to, because in the NFC, you got five teams that have already clinched.
Uh-huh.
The Eagles, the Vikings, and the 49ers have won their division. The Bucks. And, I mean, that awful, god-awful division of the NFC South. I mean, it looks like the Bucks are going to win it, so they'll get a spot. Cowboys have clinched a spot. And then the Giants, Commanders, Seahawks, and Lions, and even the Packers to an extent, are fighting it out for spots. And then in the AFC, Bengals are close to clinching. I think that's probably going to be the one, because it's going to come down to the last game. You know, now if the Jets beat Jacksonville Thursday night, then the pressure's really on, because if the Titans can win Sunday, then they're probably in good shape.
Exactly.
But could you imagine Sunday night football, Jags-Titans for the AFC South?
I'm here for it. I'm here for it. I want it. That's what I want, because I want to see if the Titans – can, you know, take that pressure that is on them and do something with it.
Yeah.
Can they alleviate the pressure? Can they stand up tall? Can they be Titans and stand up tall? I don't know if they can with this team. I've seen it in the past.
I think they've lost their – I mean, they've lost their confidence.
Yeah, they've – I said this game was a critical game for the Titans to win. Not because of Jacksonville, not because of the playoffs. I thought it was critical for the morale in the locker room. Because if you go on a four-game losing streak, it's not just an ordinary four-game losing streak where everybody healthy and you go on a four-game losing streak and you figure, man, we just need to make a few plays here and there. We still got our guys, you know, on defense and everything else. We need to make a few plays here. We will get this ship back on the right course. If that was the case, then I'd be like, okay. But that ain't the case. They're not looking. You know, Mike, when I leave the house, am I my dogs, they're looking out the window. But they know eventually they're like, Dad's coming back. He's coming back. Like, he's coming back. Don't worry. I'm going to eat because my dad's coming back. Well, the Titans are like that dog. Ain't nobody coming back.
Yeah.
Ain't nobody coming back. I'm sorry. Ain't nobody coming back to feed you. You're on your own, buddy. You got to figure it out. And if you can't figure it out, then so be it. Quit looking out the window because ain't nobody coming here to help you. You got to help yourself with the guys that you have. And I don't know if they can do it. Seriously. Right.
I 100% agree.
I don't care how good we think Mike Vrabel is. I don't think they can. This roster, the injuries, and everything else that has happened this season is a little bit too much.
It's catching up to him. And one thing I want to do, and maybe it's this week, maybe we wait till the end of the season, I want to do a true evaluation of Mike Vrabel because I stand by that. This is not all on him. There are some missteps. I mean, look, Todd Downing's on him. Todd Downing should not be the offensive coordinator of this football team moving forward. I get not doing it now. You're kind of committed at this point, and the owner took that from you when she fired the GM. He should not be the OC moving forward. Mm-mm. Clear as day, should not be the OC moving forward. That's on Mike Vrabel for sticking with him. I would say probably need a new special teams coach too, if I'm being honest, Craig Aukerman. And I'm usually not the guy that sits here and says fire this person. You know, I'm not that type of person. But when it gets to a point where I see that it's not working, and I can't wait for Willie to get here because I have a feeling he and I are going to go round and round. I can already tell you that's going to happen. Ring the bell. But they've got to do something there. But now. This is the roster that he has. And I think it was now that some dust has settled, and I stand by you should not have fired John Robinson midseason because of everything that came with that. But I think this was a gross misstep by the GM of looking at this division and basically saying it's between us and Indy. And that's it.
Uh-huh.
And that this is a weak division. We should be good enough to win this by default. And then, you know, maybe some of my missteps I can fix in the offseason. I'm starting to think he thought that. Well, what he didn't realize is, and you said this, and I said this in the offseason. Hey, now, I don't know if Jacksonville's going to make the playoffs, but that's going to be an improved football team. Mm-hmm. And what have they been?
An improved football team.
It took them a while. They had to – you've been on bad teams, and you know you have to learn how to win. Mm-hmm. And it's hard. It's hard to learn how to win in this league. But guess what? They've learned how to win. Their quarterback, mm-hmm. he's pretty damn good. He's getting confidence, and he's with the right head coach. And so now Indy completely pooped the bed. They fired their coach. They got a guy that's been doing TV coaching them now. And
they look like it.
And they look like it because they blew a 33-0 lead at half and lost.
They look like it.
I mean, they're awful.
Yeah.
And we have been saying the Titans are going to win the division, Titans are going to win the division. I don't know if they are now. I really don't. They have screwed this up so much that they might actually lose. I almost said something really bad. Might lose this. Like, that's where we are. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, Mike, I promise we'll get to your call. We'll get to some text. But Derek Mason has been telling me all morning he has a hot take for me and for all of you. You will hear that next. Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 1025, 1063 The Game.
Mike, you still lead the division. Is that the point of emphasis rather than the negative aspect that you've been?
Well, I mean, the point of emphasis is just, you know, we got to put everything into it to another week. Eliminate some of the mistakes, execute better. When we play complementary, you know, our offense answered back. Defense did a nice job in sudden change things that, you know, showed up last week. You know, Rodgers' play at the end of half. You know, Roger had an interception at the end of half last week that turned into a touchdown, that turned into a, you know, a double up situation. Game got away from us this week. Roger made a fantastic play. Took some momentum in there to halftime, but then mistakes, but we hung around and, you know, just came up short.
Mike Vrabel on the Titans' loss, and if leading the division should be the emphasis right now. Back here, Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 1025, 1063, the game. Chase McCabe, Derek Mason with you. We'll talk to Teron Davenport coming up in about 13 minutes. He was there yesterday. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans and what has happened there. Be sure to follow us on Instagram at 1025, the game Nashville. All right, before we get to your hot take, Mike has been waiting patiently. So
let's do it.
Let's get to Mike. Mike in Gallatin wants to weigh in on the Titans' loss. Hello, Mike. How you doing?
Hey, guys. Doing great. There was multiple segues where I felt like my question would make sense. But what's tiring to me on Titans' Instagram, Facebook, which I guess is an evil, dark alley you don't ever want to go into, but you do because you
it's
need a
something.
Event, right? Exactly. You got to go somewhere to slam stuff. Is to talk about the strength and conditioning coaches. Now, like, I get why we might think that, but I don't think anybody besides Darren knows what those coaches are, like what their responsibilities are, or what makes the Titans one maybe different from the Ravens, or things like that. But, like, my understanding is because we lead the league in players in the IR, but we're getting a lot of these players from, like, practice squads or off the streets and players that are not even on, like, these – not even on rosters and stuff yet. Like, is that part of it? Like, is it to blame on the strength and conditioning team? Or, like, is it just a sad – unfortunate, like, I mean, it's not a joke because it's happened 2 years in a row, but, like, it's just unfortunate that just happened to be for us. And I'll listen. I'm sure you guys have talked about this before, but, like, I want that strength and conditioning coach getting fired immediately type thing to kind of be curved out because people just don't know what they're talking about.
Thanks, you, Mike. I appreciate it. We had a conversation about this, I think, last week or the week before. It's hard to... You know, again, this is a thankless job by these men. Nobody know who they are outside the football building. I'm talking from a fan perspective. No one knows who these men are. No one is talking about them when the team isn't injured. And frankly, a lot of times nobody's talking about them when the team is healthy or injured. But it seems like for some reason this has been sort of that undercurrent that has been sort of bubbling up in Titan fan world that, oh, it must be the conditioning, strength and conditioning coaches. They must be a part of this. No, they're not. Listen, these men over at the Titan facility, I'm sure they do a damn good job. And I'm sure if you asked, you know, every player on that team about that strength and conditioning, their program and their coaches, they will speak highly of them.
Sure.
Because what you do is you set out a plan for each player, and it's up to that player to be disciplined to come in when you're scheduled to come in, or if you're not scheduled to come in and get some extra work, stretching and everything else. But it's not the fault of the strength and conditioning that the Titans are getting injured. It's not their fault that Ryan Tannehill twisted his ankle twice now.
Right.
It's not their fault that Jeffrey Simmons twisted his ankle. It's not their fault that Bud Dupree is always injured. Hell, he was injured before he got here. It's not their fault that Robert Woods is still nowhere near what he was before his injury. It's not his fault. It's not their fault for Caleb Farley. He was injured before he came in. Who else? Fulton is not.
Right.
So what I'm getting to, people, is let's stop this. We're looking for any excuse to not blame the actual people that are doing the job, the players and the coaches. Let's leave the strength and conditioning people out of this. They do their job. They're there every morning. They're there before the players get there. Okay, so let's not go down that road because they have nothing to do with it. Okay, even if they change the whole strength and conditioning program or change the coaches, they still have injuries. And what you going to do? Go down that road again and blaming the strength and conditioning? No, they have nothing to do with this. This is not a bad strength and conditioning unit. Guys are just getting injured. That has nothing to do with the coaches in the weight room. Or right. In the conditioning room. It has nothing to do with them. So let's not go down that route. This team is just not a good team. This team wasn't a good team at the beginning of the year. They're even worse now because of injuries. So, I mean, blame something else, but don't blame the strength and conditioning coaches.
All right, so let's get to your hot take.
Here it is. And I thought about this one. I thought about it last week, actually, and then watching the game. And I always go back to that San Diego Charger team. And for so many years, it's like nine years, I believe, where LT was just the man. There was nothing LT couldn't do. I'm talking about LaDainian Tomlinson, not Lawrence Taylor.
The second LT.
Yeah, the second LT, the running back. There was nothing this man couldn't do. He was an MVP. He did everything he could possibly do for the San Diego Chargers at the time. But you know what? They didn't win the championship his 9 years there. Okay. They came close, but they didn't get to the Super Bowl. They didn't even have a shot. He wasted the last 3 years of his career in San Diego. Wasted it. Why? Because he's a Hall of Fame player that the team that he had didn't take advantage of the opportunities they had to get to a Super Bowl. There was a period where every year they were the favorite to go to the Super Bowl. And they never got that point. And then in year 11, they finally release him, and he goes to the Jets, and then everybody forgets about him after that. So you wasted 9 years of a Hall of Fame career on a team that had potential but couldn't reach it. They were well coached.
Yep.
They had a franchise quarterback, an elite quarterback.
Yep.
They had defense. They had they had everything.
I think I know where you're going with this.
Okay. Yep. I see the same thing happening with Derrick Henry.
They've wasted him.
He's wasted his career. His career is going to end up being like LT's. I think I do believe Derrick Henry, once it's all said and done, he should be a Hall of Famer. I really do, because what he's done in a 4-year span, I don't think many have done. Yep. At his position. The yardage he's put up in the games that he's played, not many people have done that. The guy is a stud. He's a winner at all levels.
He's legit.
He's legit. This Tennessee Titans, they have three building blocks. And you gave me one, well, four. You gave me one that I kind of forgot about.
And define building block, young player.
Young player that you build around, that you say, okay, these are the three or four guys that we got, boom, and we can build on them. Jeffrey Simmons, we know that.
Yep.
I think Treylon Burks is another.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
David Long Jr., I think he's one.
Okay. Yep.
And who was the fourth guy?
I had said McCreary.
You said McCreary. I think Chigakonkwo.
I
think he's the fourth. I think Roger, he's a solid defensive back on the outside. But if you put him in a slot, he would probably be the best nickelback in the National Football League.
Yeah, I can see
to
that.
To me,
yep.
He would be. So you really only got 3 to 4 building blocks, and most of them are on defense. Well, most of them are on defense. Derrick Henry is coming to the end of his career. We know that. He's going to have he's got a phenomenal year this year.
Well,
we don't know what's going to
end of his prime.
End of his prime. Let's say that. End of his prime. He's going to have a really good year this year. He's going to finish off with probably 1,400 yards, somewhere around there, 1,500 yards. But what do you do after that? This team needs so much help. So much. When they open that new stadium, Ryan Tannehill won't be here. Kevin Byard won't be here. Derrick Henry will not be here. Ben Jones will not be here.
Yep.
Let me see a couple other players. Austin Hooper will not be here. Robert Woods will not be here. Mm-hmm. We're talking about half of this roster, when they do indeed move into that new stadium, will not be here.
I will put Harold Landry in your building block category, too.
Yeah, because it's like, okay, he didn't play this season. But
looked at him. He's on the light pole.
So, you get I totally forgot, because he's not playing right now. So Harold Landry could be one of those guys, too. But maybe, just maybe, they should think about trading Derrick Henry to get as much as they possibly can. Yeah, trade him away. Him or Kevin Byard, both of them. One of them needs to go. Not because I don't think they're good players, because you don't have any building blocks. You fired the GM because you're telling the fans he put you in a situation that you're in where there's no depth on this team. So how do you acquire depth then? Through the draft, through free agency. The Titans don't have enough.
Basically, what you're saying, and let's get to Teron Davenport, because I want you to ask this to him. Basically, you're saying blow it up.
Yeah.
That's what you're saying.
Basically saying, trade either Derrick Henry or Kevin Byard.
All right, we will get to Teron Davenport from ESPN coming up next. Chase Oley-DeMace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.